Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning to you all, my dear friends, you beautiful people, you who have chosen to give me half an hour of your life and time for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love, and all lesser values to me devolve into the rabbit hole and into the dark abyss of BS. Bait and switch, or whatever other process you might want to apply that to. I am convinced that bait and switch is what happens when we don't love. We bait people with words. We bait them into thinking this or that, and then we switch to our real motives, which are often, and well, I shouldn't say often, all the time when we bait and switch, it's less than love. I'm alive to love. I'm the No BS Bishop. All lesser values to me are BS. So thanks for being here for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I love doing this. I love this project. It takes me into the places of my own processes and my own mindset that I've joined myself to. And that mindset is the mindset of love. So we do a couple of things here every No BS Bishop. And one of the things that we do is I recite with you and ask you to recite with me Love's Creed, something that I've written and something I'm very, very committed to in my own personal life. I'd invite you to be as committed to it as well and find a way to have this in front of you. Maybe you want to make it your own, put your own name in there. That's fine with me. I want you to know that Love's Creed is a baseline truth for sustaining a vision for life that will keep you moving forward. Because to me, all of life is about moving forward in love. So here's Love's Creed. I want to give it to you in total. I'll come back and give it to you in short bursts so you can repeat after me, like a bride and a groom do at a wedding altar. The vows that they do, you know, nervously toeing the ground and trying to figure out how to not pass out. So that's what a vow should really take you there. How do I not pass out because I'm so nervous? I hope you can stay conscious and sentient with me while we do Love's Creed, that it won't cause you to pass out. But I do want you to feel the weight of it, all right? Here it is in total, and we'll go back and repeat it. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, there it is. Now, let me go back. I'll have you repeat after me. I'll give you a short burst, short phrase. You repeat after me. And let your consciousness, your mind, hear your voice, committed to this principle. Those things that we say and we hear ourselves say should give us pause for asking, am I being honest? Am I telling the truth? Am I giving what I really, really, really want to live my life by? That's why I think creeds like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, those confessions that we do in church worship and church settings, they're important because it's good for you, good for me, to hear what I believe, all right? So here we go. Here's Love's Creed. I'll give you a phrase, and you repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. Love's Creed, something that for me sustains my path. It sustains my thoughts, my meditations. You and I are all creations of our meditations. We meditate on pain, misery, sorrow, wrongs done to us, and we become painful, sorrowful. We become a person of our inner world, because what is alive in you will eventually be alive around you. So that's why it's so important to sustain a healthy meditation, a healthy contemplation, such as Love's Creed. So to that end, today I'm very drawn to the real, honest to God struggle of love, the struggle of love. So I often have to remind people when I'm talking about love that I'm not talking about a cotton candy carnival feeling. I'm talking about the heavy lifting of life that's done through love, that love is the true weightlifter of life. I think we've given love a short view that's sad, really. To me, and you'll hear me say this at the end, that love is the most holy and magical word in the human language, whatever the language may be, French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, you name it. Love, that word in itself, just four letters, holds so much power for life. And yet we've treated it like a kid who takes a nice little red ball and bounces it up against the wall on the house and just kind of bump, boom, bump, boom, bump, boom. And rather than finding use the ball illustration a little bit more, find yourself a hard ball. Get yourself involved in fast pitch, hard ball, baseball. Love is not the rubber ball that you bounce against the wall. The rubber ball that you bounce against the wall is that's a nice little way to get used to it as a child. But when I'm a full-grown adult, I got to give up childish things. And to me, when Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 gave us the love chapter, he said, when I was a child, I spoke childish things. But now that I am a full-grown adult, I speak as an adult. And that chapter, he's talking about love, ladies and gentlemen. So the struggle of love is what I'm here to just, you know, do what I can to teach you what I know about that struggle. And please hear me. I do not pretend to know everything there is about love. I don't pretend that whatsoever. I'm often reminded that through the years, as a pastor for 50 years, when I've preached on love, when I've taught on love, it was pretty routine for me to hear somebody come back and say, "Well, you teach or preach a good game, but you know, I don't think you really love. I think you've made mistakes in love." I used to get pretty defensive about that. And partly because, so how do I teach on love if I'm not perfect at it? You know, so that was my first struggle. But the second struggle for me was just my insecurity. Like, oh gosh, so I got to figure out love before I can teach it. I had to get over that. I really had to get over that. So I have learned to say to anybody who would argue with me about if I teach on love, they might say, "Well, you don't really love. I saw you say this. I heard you do this." And I've had to answer and say, "Well, you're right. Because I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. I'm mountain climbing here. I'm on a long, long, long walk toward the goal of love. And I've still got a lot to learn. I'm 70 years old. I've been in ministry 50 years. And I just don't pretend to have it all figured out. But here's what I am committed to. I'm not pretending this. I am committed to the long haul and to the struggle of love. So as I have struggled to love, and if somebody has found me not being as loving as I could or should have been, my answer to that is, you're right. I'm reaching. And I've stumbled in my reach. I've not always reached for the right thing when it came to love. Maybe I was just reaching for the low-hanging fruit. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? Low-hanging fruit means it's just the stuff I can get to. But when there's real good oranges at the top of that orange tree, when there's really beautiful ripe apples at the top of that apple tree, I got to go get a ladder, get past what is easy hanging fruit. Same is true for love. If we want to reach for the real pinnacle, the beauties, the full ripeness of love, we may have to get a ladder. We may have to get a scaffolding. We may have to get a mechanical lift to get us to the top of that tree, because there's nothing easy about love. There's nothing simplistic about love. All of love contains the intricacies of the human psyche. All of love contains the human pathos of pains and brokenness in us. So if I reach for love and inside of me there's psychological bruising, inside of me perhaps there's mental illness that I've got to have dealt with. Inside of me perhaps I have trauma, as we have come to call in warriors who have been to wars, and they come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. And so we've got to recognize that there are factors in us that can stumble us in our reach for love. So love really is a struggle. I would propose that the struggle of love is the highest form of struggle in life. To struggle forward toward love is to struggle for the gold, the platinum, the very highest and best ideal of all humanity. John Wesley, the great Methodist founder, said, "What is Christian perfection? The loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength." He said, "This implies that no wrong temper, no contrary to love, none contrary to love remains in my soul, and that all the thoughts, words, and actions are governed by pure love." That's a mouthful. Here it is again. What is Christian perfection? The loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This implies that no wrong temper, none contrary to love remains in my soul, and that all the thoughts, words, and actions in me are governed by pure love. That's my creed, really. You know, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. See, whether it's what John Wesley said or what Randy Dean just gave you in my creed, that's a lifetime reach. That's a struggle. That's coming to terms with what's in me. And what's in me is, if it's not love, I want it out of me. And if I want it out of me, well, then maybe I should find a friend. Maybe I should find somebody whose ear is good for listening. And I should, if I could, talk to that friend honestly about the dark shadows in the corners of my mind. Perhaps I've got to journal this. Perhaps I've got to journal this out and find out, where have I been in a PTSD of my love, where my love has been traumatized, and how can I move forward, like John Wesley said, toward Christian perfection? Whoa, perfection? Can I just take a moment and unpack the word perfection there? And I know Wesley knows this and believes this, and that I know that from his other writings and his other belief systems, that he's not speaking of being a perfectionist, that we demand nothing but perfection every day of our life. That's not what he's talking about there. The Christian word, or the Bible word for perfect there, is the target. It's the bullseye out in front of us. Jesus said that you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, you know, if I take that the wrong way, which many people have, well, then I can't get there, because I can't be God-like perfect. But the word perfect there is the Greek word teleos, which is to say it's the long vision. It's the long sighting. So I'm sighting in to my aim at love. That's what perfection is. That's what Christian perfection is. That's what spirituality perfection is. It's the perfection of looking way, way, way down the road and aiming for something higher, better, more beautiful than just the easy peasy, cotton candy, cheesy, wheezy carnival view of life. So that's why love is a struggle. That's why I'm talking to you today about the struggle of love. So as I aim for the beauty of love, the perfection of love, to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I have, no, like John Wesley said, I have no wrong temper. I'm not contrary to love on the inside of me anywhere. Nothing that, like that remains in me, that all of my thoughts and words and actions are governed by pure love. You hear me giggling, don't you? I'm not giggling at you. I'm laughing at me because I know how I've got a lot of thoughts and words and actions in me that are not governed by pure love, but I want it. And that's why I live by love's creed. I want it. I want to reach for that. It's past me, beyond me. I want to put down the little red rubber ball that I'm bouncing up against the wall, and I want to find a solid hard ball. I want to get into the fast pitch game of life. And swing for the walls. And, you know, it's Babe Ruth's legend, one of the great home run kings of professional baseball. It is said that, and I've seen old grainy black and white videos of him pointing to the wall, pointing to the fences, where he's going to slap that hard ball way out there. Well, that's perfection. He's aiming at perfection there. He didn't always get it. In fact, Babe Ruth was a strikeout king. He struck out more than he was able to get on base. And you know why? Because he aimed at perfection. He was imperfect because his aim was perfection. His aim was to grow toward the teleos, to hit that ball out of the park every time, which he didn't, but he did often enough to become known as a home run king. Randy Dean wants to be known as the home run king of love. That sounds silly. I just had to say it. But I want to swing for the fence every time when it comes to love. I want my love to be that grand, that beautiful, that significant. And that's what makes, and that's today's theme, that's what makes love a struggle. It's the struggle of love that pulls me forward. Because you see, it's only through struggle that we grow. It's only through the bird and the egg, that the little chick that pecks its way out of that eggshell, the struggle of being born, that creates the strength for that little chick to have wings and feet and a beak that works. That's that struggle. Maya Angelou said this about love. Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. Isn't that beautiful? To arrive at a destination full of hope. You've heard me talk here about hope as it relates to being born up out of real love, and how hope is this. Oof, hope is a delicate flower. It truly is, because hope has a lot to do with our emotions and how we feel. And when we're talking about how we feel, that's a delicate topic. Hope is often beat up and knocked down, disappointed, thrown aside. We find ourselves without hope, and we have to get back up again. And you heard me, oh my goodness, maybe a month or so ago say, hope oftentimes has to get up off the mat, spit out a tooth, double up its fists and say, all right, let's have another go at it. Sometimes hope gets so beat up, it'll knock your spiritual teeth out. And Maya Angelou recognizes that love gets us to hope. Listen, love recognizes no barriers, jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. The struggle of love, ladies and gentlemen, it's the struggle of the human existence. It's the struggle that we're invited into, to go forward, not stationary, to arise and to shine, not with some simplistic cliche or a bumper sticker theology. Ugh, I get so weary of bumper sticker theology, which is to say all of my theology can be put on a bumper sticker that's, you know, 8 inches long, wide and 3 inches deep. Enough. That wears me out. I want my theology to be deep and wide. I want it to be almost unreachable. And I say almost because I say that from the perspective of love. I want to struggle to the pinnacle. It goes back to something I've said here often, that love is a marathon. Love is not a 100-meter dash. As sexy and beautiful and bright as that fast dash might be, love is not a 100-meter dash. Love is a marathon. In fact, I would say love is a triathlon. I'm a runner. I'm not a fast runner, but I am a runner. And at 70, it pleases me that I can still go out and run. And my goal is to be able to run to the day I drop and I'm no longer able to put one foot in front of another. But I understand this, that if I don't sustain the struggle for running, well, then I'll lose what I've gained in the days behind me. So that's why I continue to run. And that is an illustration, folks, of the struggle of love, to sustain one foot in front of the other in the face of all of the imperfections that we own. And that's important, to own your imperfections. Well, let me get this in for a landing. I've got about 5 minutes to go here. So let's do what everybody who struggles needs to do, and that is let's breathe deep. To draw in a breath, hold it to the basement of our lungs, and to hold it there with a second or two or three, and give yourself a chance to rest, even for a moment. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, hold it to your diaphragm, and then exhale. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. That simple exercise can help you sustain a good, steady heartbeat and sustain the ability to continue in the struggle for love. Another point of reference that we do here every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, and that is that I challenge you to startle someone with the three most holy words in the human language, and those three words are, I love you. It'll startle them. It'll be awkward at first, and it'll be awkward for many that you may share it with. Yeah, I've said here, if you want to really startle a stranger, just look at them and smile and say, I love you. And then walk away. You'll have them managing something to think about all day long and maybe longer. Find somebody's eye contact. Give them your full attention. Call yourself to attention. And say to somebody the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language, whatever the language may be, English, Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, you name it. Those three most holy and powerful words are, I love you. As it relates to today's topic about the struggle of love, it's a struggle to say those three words like that. It's a struggle to connect with our intimacy issues inside of us. As I said, we all have some mental health issues that we're wrestling with. We're all on some level dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. We've all been traumatized, especially as it relates to love. And so when we love, we're being invited to get to the true foundations of who we are as human beings. And then as John Wesley said, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to put that love in my mouth and to say it. Ooh wee. What a profound, profound challenge. The struggle of love. The struggle is real, as they say. And may we be so committed to that real struggle that we live by the creed, I'm alive to love. I'm alive for love. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Well, it's been a pleasure to share with you, and I hope that I've challenged you to get in the starting gate, reach for the struggle of love, and remember, real love will always be a struggle. Honest love will always put you to the test. It'll always push back on you, and then you just simply have to be ready to push harder forward. Don't give up. The struggle for love is worth it all. It is the highest pinnacle of the human struggle, to love one another and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thanks for being here. Now get out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, 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 ugly is being done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.